It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, November 7th. I'm Patricia Naft. Towns across the Western Slope had a myriad of different ballot measures, and a few had some asking to issue bonds. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Arade School District received $2.5 million to help repair a dilapidated roof, but big plans in Telluride eclipse that number. A $27 million bond will be issued to the Telluride School District to expand their facilities. This is School Board President Paul Reich.
Many school district bonds failed across the state. In fact, the majority failed. The electorate was not very kind to schools going out and looking for either capital bonds for building construction or for mill levy overrides. I feel good that the community recognized, the majority of the voters recognized, that we need to address our growth and we're willing to invest in the students. Obviously, you know, I would have liked a little more, but a win is a win, and I'll take the 24-vote margin and feel good about it, knowing that we will invest it wisely and build smartly for the community.
Reich says that will be several years before construction is totally completed. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The legalization of marijuana in Colorado has also created a land rush. State law says the drug has to be grown indoors, but layers of regulation and tight zoning have made real estate hard to come by for most growers. As KUNC and Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports, Colorado has a new prized possession: warehouses.
I'm standing in the back of a warehouse space in Aurora, Colorado, just east of Denver. And it's a beige building, empty right now, but it might not be for very much longer. And I'm here for a real estate showing. The tour starts inside the empty office building, stripped of its cubicles and ceiling tiles, leaving just a bare, dusty shell. My guide, Jason Thomas with Avalon Realty Advisors, a commercial real estate firm that deals with the marijuana industry's entrepreneurs.
This is a new building for the industry.
Mm-hmm. And the sprinkler system is functional. Okay.
And that's this showing's client. He'd only agree to talk on tape if he remains anonymous. He still has a job in marketing in Illinois. And while the building doesn't look like much, there's a huge pile of sawdust on the floor. The client is smitten.
It's prettier than a lot of the pigs I've looked at, I must say. I've looked at a lot of them.
And what he sees is potential. The room is big enough to hold upwards of 6,000 marijuana plants. It complies with strict zoning rules that require grow facilities to be separated from residential areas. Since the start of Colorado's recreational marijuana experiment in January, state-licensed grow sites can't keep up with the demand, and real estate advisor Jason Thomas says that's leading to a rush on industrial warehouse space.
Finding a property is probably the most difficult piece of putting a business together in this industry right now, by far.
The market is artificially tight, but it's actually very good for me, because when I do get one, it sells for full price very quickly.
That's where this guy comes in. That's Bob Costello, and I'll let him read his business card.
Hi, I'm Bob Costello, and I'm the cannabis-friendly real estate broker.
Costello's been busy lately. See, Colorado's marijuana industry needs a lot of real estate, between retail shops and testing laboratories and kitchens to make edible pot. Plus, the plant itself has to be grown indoors. And because the industry still functions in a legal gray area, federally outlawed but legal within the state's boundaries, Costello says there's little data collected on how the market's performing.
I mean, it's like I go to the payphone and call my connection, you know, and I go, psst, I got one. And they go, you got one? How much? $3 million. Okay, I'll take it. And it never gets entered in any database. So there's a lot of anecdotal evidence about what pricing really is.
Couple that with layers of regulation from the state, and Costello says securing a space can be like finding a needle in a haystack. Cities have been hands-on, too. Jill Jennings Golick with Denver's planning department says marijuana grows can only exist in very specific industrial areas.
So that's really the first step, is making sure you can find a space with that zoning that would allow that specific use.
Most real estate deals have put marijuana grows into empty buildings, outfitting them with lights and complex water delivery systems. But Jennings Golick says as the green rush progresses, it might bring a building boom along with it.
Because we do see a trend to likely more new construction versus just tenant finish of existing buildings.
So, but we can cover that as we move forward.
Okay.
Back at the real estate showing in Aurora, the aspiring marijuana entrepreneur likes the empty office building enough to make an offer. He says after months of searching, he might have just found the magic property.
You know, contrary to popular belief, maybe outside of Colorado, it's not like Colorado opened up for marijuana. Parts of Colorado have opened up.
It'll take about $400,000 in upgrades before it's ready to grow. It's free of any bank loans, a deal breaker on other buildings, and the landlord is game. Meaning, 1 year from now, if the client's business team secures licenses and approvals, the first few buds of marijuana could be harvested here.
It's a great position to be in, to be part of the beginning of an industry.
Yeah.
That, you know, and hopefully get into it and shape it in a way where it can prosper and succeed.
And he says when you're growing a cash crop like marijuana, the money doesn't hurt either. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, the balance of Colorado's state legislature is still undecided, and final votes are being counted in Adams County. Democrats say they remain confident they'll maintain control of at least one chamber. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Going into this election, Democrats held a 9-seat majority in the House. That buffer has been eroded, but Speaker of the House Mark Ferrandino, who is term limited, says he thinks his party will hold at least a 1-seat majority. Ferrandino says he's proud of his party's record and says given the Republican gains across the country, keeping a majority would be a huge victory.
You're sitting at a year now where in a midterm election, we expected to do worse. And you saw a national wave that was much bigger than I think anyone going into Election Day expected.
But Republican House Minority Leader Brian Del Grosso says the Democratic losses show a different story.
You can't say that you had a successful 2 years and then come out and then lose seats. I think voters have said, well, we don't perceive what you did as successful. We don't like the legislation that you passed. And there's going to be ramifications for that.
Meanwhile, the state Senate is still a toss-up. Preliminary results show the GOP could win a 1-seat majority. Prior to the election, Democrats held a 1-seat majority. But thousands of votes still need to be tallied. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Up next, Western Slope Skies, followed by DJ MJ and the Friday Morning Music Mix. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.